Paul the Apostle talks about us being more than conquerors over the adversities of life. Well, that's a cool idea. But how does that fit with humility? How does that fit with Jesus saying, "Blessed are the meek"? Turns out, actually, it's a pretty good fit. I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program today as we take a look at this idea of living in victory from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'm going to tell you about a special booklet that I'd love to send you to help you do just that, to live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. Victory. Victory is a word that Christians love to bandy round. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, okay. But what does that actually mean? What is victory? I mean, victory's nice, but on the other hand, victory can be pretty ugly too. You don't have to look very far back in history to see how victory in a war has come at a terrible price, how victory of one group of people has brought terrible pain and oppression to another group of people. Surely if God tells us that those who believe in Jesus are more than conquerors, it has to be a different kind of victory. The picture of a conquering army may conjure up images of victory, but what about the death and the destruction that it took to get there, to become a conqueror in the first place? Now, if God's talking about some sort of victory in our lives when we put our faith in his son Jesus, then it has to be a different kind of victory, a pure victory, a sweet victory, a good and wholesome and wonderful victory. Because if it's not that sort of victory, then surely it can't be from God. Question is, when God talks about victory, what sort of victory is he talking about? What does he mean when he speaks the word victory into our lives? What exactly is his plan when it comes to making us more than conquerors? In the world's eyes, victory is all about winning. It's about the winner. Take the swimmers at the Olympics. 1/100th of a second can be the margin between gold and silver, and no one remembers the guy who came second. Now, it's a winner-takes-all model. Winning is everything. There's no glory in coming second in this world. In fact, a lot of what victory's about is actually beating the other guy. Now, I don't know what part of the world you come from, but in my neck of the woods, cricket is a big deal. I know. I have some American friends, and they can't believe that anybody could possibly be interested in a game that runs for 5 days, 6 or 7 hours a day. But there you go. Over the past decade or so, the Australian cricket team has mostly been on top of the world, beating New Zealand and India and Pakistan and South Africa and the West Indies, and even the inventors of the game, England. In fact, for me, the absolute pinnacle of sport, the ultimate, the sweetest victory of all, is when we beat England, the Poms, the old enemy, as many of the commentators call them. In this world, winning is about beating the other guy, right? It's about me getting the glory. It's about me thumping my chest and telling myself how great I am. But when God, in his word, through the Apostle Paul, talks about us being more than conquerors, that's not really what he's had in mind. God has an entirely different notion of what victory means. Have a listen to this beautiful psalm, Psalm 149. We don't know who wrote it, but clearly this is a psalm of praise after God gave his people Israel a great victory. Have a listen to it. Psalm 149. "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches." God's given them some great victory over an enemy that's threatened them. And instead of beating their chests and slapping one another on the back and telling each other how utterly amazing they are and how they whopped the enemy and good on me and good on you, what do? They sing praises to God and give thanks to him and give him the glory, all the glory. And this one verse leaps out at me. Have another listen to it. Psalm 149, verse 4. "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory." God gives victory not to those who are full of themselves, but to the humble. There's an amazing scene at the end of World War II when General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the supreme Allied commander in Europe, addressed the British Parliament following victory in Europe. These were General Eisenhower's first words when he was introduced on the floor of the British Parliament. But first, he had to wait for 5 minutes standing ovation to end. And then this is what he said. Humility must be the measure of a man whose success was bought with the blood of his subordinates and paid for with the lives of his friends. After this first sentence, Parliament then gave a second standing ovation which lasted 15 minutes before they again took their seats. And you know something? That bit about success bought with the blood of subordinates and paid for with the lives of friends, that rings so true when I look at the victory I have in my life. It's a victory purchased for me through the blood of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth, suffered incredibly, was nailed, brutally nailed to a cross, and died a gruesome death for one reason and one reason alone. To pay the price of my rebellion and yours, to pay the price of our failures and losses and defeats, and let me call it what it is, my sin. That's where it was purchased. Through none of my good works, none of my virtues, none of my hard work, it was all done for me, that I might have life eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 54. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that was written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is looking to make us victorious. God is looking to make us more than conquerors. But not in an arrogant sort of way. Not in the sort of way that the world expects to conquer. No, in a humble sort of way. When you and I defeat sin in our lives, when we overcome this obstacle and climb over that mountain and by faith cast another mountain into the sea, none of that is in our own strength. None of that is through our own abilities. None of that is because we're great people. It's all about the power and the mercy and the grace of God. And this God is looking for humble conquerors. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. And again in James chapter 4 verse 6, he gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. My friend, when we taste the victories in life that God brings, they're so incredibly sweet. I know that there are those among us today who are facing impossible odds. I know that there are those who are caring for mothers with Alzheimer's disease. There are those struggling to put food on the table. There are those, even in parts of the world where this program is heard, who are fleeing for their lives. But as the Apostle Paul writes in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, we are more than conquerors, and that victory is so sweet. It's not always that easy to overcome the battles in life, whether they're battles that we're fighting on the outside or battles from within. The enemy will always attack us at our weakest point, whether that happens to be in a situation or a relationship, or whether it's in the way we see ourselves and in our relationship with God. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called The Sweet Taste of Victory. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory that Jesus has already won for you on that cross and through the empty tomb. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you receive and reflect on God's word, and then apply what he's saying to you right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.